Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. Well, this is about the Ukraine war, and things are actually looking a bit rosier for Ukraine. In as much as Russia's made almost no ground, still hasn't taken Avdiivka. I can't believe it. I thought they were going to lose that months ago. Even the Russians have been pushed back in some sectors. The Russians have retaken almost all of Kursk region this year. But my, what took you so long? I mean, let's say even if it's a millimeter of Kursk that Ukraine still holds. They have held some enemy territory for about 9 months, the Ukrainians. What a humiliation for Russia, so-called superpower, can't defeat a country when it outnumbers them, 10 to 1 in terms of tanks, howitzers, helicopters, planes, anything you care to mention. And this is a symmetric conflict. In an asymmetric conflict, I know it's difficult. If a conventional army is fighting guerrillas who are running away into the forest or the caves or the whatever, who don't wear uniforms, who don't have bases to defend, okay, that negates the technological advantage, the firepower advantage, the mobility of the conventional force. But no, these are two conventional militaries against each other. And Russia not only hasn't won, hasn't even made that much progress. So Ukraine's got reasons to be optimistic. The minerals deal signed with the United States a few days ago and is much more favorable than what Trump initially said about this profit sharing. But anyway, when is there even going to be some profit out of it? Obviously, it's major investment for that to happen. The Americans will be working there. The idea that this will stop Russia attacking, I think, is for the birds. There already were Americans working in Ukraine in 2022. There still are some Americans working in Ukraine. I mean, not very many, mostly charity workers, people with various non-governmental organizations, and so on. And it doesn't stop the Russians attacking every single day. Have any American civilians been killed in this war? I'm not aware that they have. Certainly, some Americans who volunteered for the International Legion for the Territorial Defense of Ukraine have been killed. And so we go on. So things are looking up for Ukraine. Trump is more favorable to the Ukrainians now. Putin has pushed him too far. Trump feels embarrassed. He's humiliated that his attempt to bring peace in one day hasn't worked. It's gone over 100 days. Putin has been too difficult, adding condition after condition after condition, and just delaying, delaying, delaying. And even Trump has perceived that Putin's got no intention of making peace like that. So he's going to be forced to make peace. So then Trump is more favorable to the Ukrainians before. Of course, we know that Trump has got this weather vane mind and could swivel the other way at any point. But now that intelligence sharing is there, not much in terms of arms shipments or financial aid. The Europeans have really ramped up their defense spending. Some of that is given to the Ukrainians. Other things is the United Kingdom is even having some drones for it manufactured in Ukraine. Ukraine's got a formidable drone sector. They innovated a lot during this war because they had to perforce. They didn't have time to hum and haw and send things to committee stage, look at things in the laboratory too much. They had to road test it straight away and learn on the job. So it'll have one of the most formidable armaments industries in Europe at the end of this war, and they can be made much more cheaply there than in Western European countries. So that's a boost to their economy. And obviously, some of the drones the Ukrainians can keep for themselves, but some of they're giving to their Western donors. So that's why things are kind of looking up for Ukraine militarily. So yeah, about the mineral resources deal, Trump previously said it was $350 billion had to be repaid. Now it's nothing like that, a major concession, that there is no debt like that. The tone towards Russia has changed, and the minerals deal said that there was a full-scale Russian invasion. Previously, Trump was accusing Ukraine of having started the war, and so on. So the United States Treasury said that no state or person who financed supply the Russian war machine will be allowed to benefit from the reconstruction of Ukraine. That's obviously a boon for American construction companies when they start rebuilding the country. When's that going to happen? We don't know. Okay, so the Ukraine's got oil and natural gas, not that much of it. It's got quite a lot of coal and so on. Ukraine will have ownership of these, but the United States will get some access to them. We don't quite have that's gonna work. Now Trump is often against the European Union, but the minerals deal doesn't say anything about slowing down Ukraine's efforts to accede to the European Union. I mean, I don't see the U Ukraine being able to join the European Union for like 10 years out of this war. One thing that could be done, I think should be done, is to switch over to the euro as their currency. The hryvnia is their currency now, not immediately, but phase it in over 10 years. Surprisingly, those countries that joined the European Union in 2007 or even 2004, some of them still aren't part of the Eurozone. No, okay, Sweden, it was agreed that they would never join the Eurozone, and Denmark and them want to join it, but Poland or Romania or Bulgaria, some of them still using their own currency. The Czechs got Czech crowns. But the point about Ukraine is it's the poorest country in Europe, out of 45 countries, the poorest, partly because Russia's impoverished it. They could have hyperinflation or something like that, but by using the euro, that would obviate any risk like that. So anyway, the United States has said that military assistance is going to come. We don't know exactly what. It's not really a guarantee. The United States could pull out at that point, right? We're not sure if any profits from the minerals deal will be reinvested into Ukraine or not. Ukraine's got lithium, got graphite, titanium, zirconium, rare earth metals. The trouble for Ukraine is some of the rare earth metals are in Russian hands in Russian illegally occupied Ukraine. Some of the titanium and zirconium is. And other things which are not in Russian hands are still perilously close to the front line, could yet be captured and so on. But things are looking up for Ukraine in that way. Yes, they've got their battlefield losses, they're husbanding their forces, they're trying to use drones as much as possible so soldiers don't have to be used. Obviously, the losses are telling on Russia, their inflation is up, their taxes are up, government spending, which they can't afford, oil prices, gas prices going down. So this is a real headache for them. Having to scrape the bottom of the barrel for conscripts. And that's why intelligent, highly educated young men often leaving the country to avoid being called up. They can more easily get jobs abroad, more likely to speak other languages, have qualifications that'll get them jobs abroad, and taking their wealth with them. And when the war ends, there's no guarantee that they're going to return. So that's why it's going to be a big headache for Russia in 2026 to sustain its war machine. And their strategy has been throwing bodies, fighting machine guns with the breasts of brave men, as Churchill said of the First World War. So yeah, the Ukrainians can sustain this war for a few more years. Russia is going to have a real headache in 2026 unless the oil prices and gas prices go up. It looks like there are more bankruptcies. A lot of businesses are on their knees. And the whole banking sector is under strain. Although Putin, in some ways, regards bankruptcies as a good thing, because then more people will be unemployed who'll want to join the army, these contracts, these big inducements, being paid several thousand dollars, in some regions, tens of thousands of dollars to volunteer for the army. But some people say, well, none of that money is worth it if you get killed. So let's not do it. Why do they have to increase the joining bounty? Because not enough people are going forward. Desertion becoming a serious problem in Russia. People trying to get out of the country. Obviously, the poorest border between Belarus and Russia. Get into Belarus, but he can be caught and sent back to the Russian army. The trouble is, it's not so easy to then illegally cross into Lithuania or Poland like it once was. The Belarusians are very happy to facilitate illegal emigration or immigration to European Union countries to weaponize that. But it's the Poles and Lithuanians are building fences and are patrolling to stop lots of illegal immigrants coming in. So Russians wanting to flee via Belarus are finding it very difficult to get out. So yeah, I don't see Ukraine ever retaking Crimea. I would like to see it happen, but I think it's improbable. But that's why maybe some sort of standstill, some sort of frozen conflict might be signed in 2026. Right. Thank you for watching your thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon today, PayPal, George Callan 790@gmail.com. Goodbye.